In the name of the Ascended One, Amen. Amen. The way of love that we've been exploring intentionally these past several weeks today invites us to pray. And the practice of prayer means that we dwell intentionally with God each day. I spent the past week in a place devoted to prayer. The monks at the Abbey of Gethsemane take vows of chastity, obedience, and silence. And I spent my last week in silence with them. And they pray 7 times a day. They pray all day long, but intentionally and systematically, they pray 7 times a day, starting at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I made a point to do a full day's cycle of prayer with them. We recited several psalms, offered intercessions, chanted the Lord's Prayer throughout the day. I realized on my second day there that by 8 a.m., I had already prayed 4 offices of prayer. We had this retreat leader, Father Carlos, and he spent the week sharing with us his thoughts on the Holy Spirit in the context of the Feast of the Ascension. Father Carlos talked a lot about John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. He explained how John understood intimacy with Jesus, how at meals they didn't sit next to one another at tables the way we were at the retreat or the way we do in our everyday life. They reclined on one another. And this image of John reclining on Jesus was an image Father Carlos gave us of prayer. We, like John, are invited to recline on, rest on Jesus. And then Jesus, the Son, in turn, leans on the Father. Jesus is our direct connection to the Creator of all things by our leaning on Him. Now, the definition of prayer in the Book of Common Prayer is that when we pray, we respond to God in thought or deed, with or without words. Responding to God, that requires closeness to God. But then we get to today's scripture readings. Jesus ascending into heaven. Jesus says, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you. In order for that to happen, I first must ascend to my Father in heaven. So how do we experience being people of prayer who dwell intentionally with God each day? And how do we respond to God intimately if Jesus, God in human flesh, has left the scene? Father Carlos gave us that wonderful image of responding to God in the scene of the beloved disciple, John, reclining at table with Jesus. What happens when someone is reclining on or resting on you? I remember when my children were both babies, how I relied on someone else to help me fetch my cup of tea or bring me something to eat while my babies ate and rested with me. As John was reclining on Jesus at the table, you can imagine how Jesus ate. John, pass me that bread. John, will you fetch me that cup of wine? This was a mutual relationship of deep intimacy. Father Carlos reminded us that to lean on Christ is to be connected to the Father. We lean on Christ, and as we lean on Christ, Christ leans on the Father. Even the Holy Spirit shows up in this intimate experience of reclining on Christ. The ancient Hebrew texts understood the Spirit as breath. And as John reclined, He was right underneath Jesus' nose. And Jesus was breathing the Holy Spirit right on top of John's head. When we can approach God through our humanity, we can allow ourselves to lean on one another. And as people lean on us, we have the power to breathe the Holy Spirit onto one another. At the Abbey, as I watched how the monks lived, how they prayed, I realized what a special call it is to live like the monks. Almost no one I know is called to a life of prayer in the way these Trappist monks are. Thomas Merton, who was both a monk and a hermit at the Abbey over 50 years ago, put it this way. The monk is a Christian who has responded to a special call from God and has withdrawn from the more active concerns of a worldly life. In order to devote himself completely to prayer. In positive terms, we must understand the monastic life as, above all, a life of prayer. The negative elements, solitude, fasting, obedience, penance, renunciation of property and of ambition, all are intended to clear the way so that prayer, meditation, and contemplation may fill the space by the abandonment of other concerns. The whole experience got me to thinking about my life of prayer and the life of prayer of all of us here at Calvary. And I'll admit, after a day of getting up at 2:50 a.m., to pray, and then again at 5:45 a.m., and then again at 7:15, and at noon, and at 2:15 in the afternoon, and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and 7:30 in the evening, I was assured that I am not called to the monastic vocation of prayer. This is not the life, nor the life of prayer to which I am called. I oftentimes think that we believe that in order to live holy lives, or lives that give glory to God, or lives of prayer, period, that we have to conform to standards and forms that don't quite fit who we are. How revelatory it was for me to find these thoughts by Joyce Rupp on prayer in the midst of a curated exhibit on the monastic life at the Abbey. Joyce Rupp writes, "Praying does not always take place in a contained or predetermined place of reflection. We never know when there might be an interior turning toward the one who dwells within us and among us, going on a walk or a run, stopping at night to bless children, driving past a homeless person, looking up at a bright star in the heavens, receiving a note from a cherished friend, turning toward a spouse in pleasurable love, reading a story in the newspaper, hearing the pain of a colleague's anguish, waiting in a checkout line. At any time and any place, we can be surprised and drawn into communion by an unanticipated sense of God's nearness." After that first day I'd spent praying all day long and listening to Father Carlos talk about the intimacy of God, he asked, "On what or on whom were we leaning?" I left uncertain. And we just chanted yet another psalm, the 8th psalm. And it was exalting the glories of God in creation as we sat in this cloistered area. animals of the earth, the fish of the sea. And I left relatively unmoved by the prayers. Unsure about how to experience the intimacy of God in a retreat center filled with strangers, among whom we did not interact and were all silent. It felt a bit like the disciples must have felt. Looking up into heaven, Jesus, the one on whom they leaned, ascending from their midst. Well, he's not here anymore. So what do we do next? That's when I decided to take a little walk. I went out into the countryside, and it was nearing sunset. We'd said the service of Compline, and the schedule of prayers was done for the day. And this brown and black dog came bounding to my way through this field. And at first I thought, oh no, this dog's, I don't know who this dog is. I was scared. And the dog looked like it had leapt out of a creek bed, and it had all kinds of little stickies on it from the brush. But nevertheless, it came right toward me, and I was alone out on the country road. And it came and sat right at my feet. And I broke my silence beyond chanting the Psalms to greet the dog, whose name I never knew, and to pat its head. But that wasn't enough. It started pawing at me as if to say, "Respond to me!" And I did. I started to scratch its belly. You know how they do. It was rolling around, delighting in the dirt. I thought we would part ways at that point, but the dog just kept following me. We walked up a small hill to a lookout with a chair overlooking the countryside. And the dog proceeded to lean on me, nuzzling its head against my leg. The dog became the vehicle to the Holy One in my midst. And my response to that dog was what I think was my authentic evening prayer. I was able to thank God for her companionship, to appreciate the blessings of companionship of my life that I'd intentionally left behind for the week. You never know when there might be an interior turning toward the one who dwells within us and among us. Jesus died, rose again, dwelled in our midst as the resurrected one, and ascended back into heaven so that we might recognize the living God. Recognize the living God, not just in our belief in the resurrected Christ in the flesh, but in our tangible experience of everything that has breath. There's a version, I think an uplifting and refreshing version of Psalm 47 that we recited today, reimagined in Psalms for Praying by Nan Merrill. And she reimagines part of the psalm. Love consciousness hovers over the nations, awaiting our awakening to love. May the leaders of all nations gather as one, choosing to walk in peace. For earth is made of love and light. Abandoning ourselves to your will, we can choose the path of healing. We sing songs of gratitude for earth, our home, to you. O great healer, life of our lives. On this Ascension Sunday, we recognize that we are in a very short season of waiting on the Holy Spirit to descend into our midst. And we're reminded that love consciousness hovers over the nations, awaiting our awakening to love. If we're going to be people of prayer, it starts with asking the question, on what or on whom are we leaning? And on whom are we leaning? Or who is leaning on us? When we trust that in our prayer, in our worship, that we are leaning on Christ and that Christ leans on the Father, then we're able to invite others to lean on us. And that intimacy with God, in that trust, that's where we learn to pray. Amen.